All right, let's see here. Pretty good so far. All right, this is the same mic from this morning, so we're giving it another run. I appreciate Tom and the work that he does back there in our sound booth. He works hard, kind of a behind-the-scenes type ministry that he does for our church, but it is very much appreciated. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this evening. So I have a shoebox that I keep under the bed, and in this box I have some things that I really treasure. Perhaps you have some sort of container, a case, or a shoebox, a safe perhaps, depending on what it is that you treasure, that keeps all these things that are really important to you. In mine, I have some birthday cards, anniversary cards, things of that sort. I have some pictures. I have my hole-in-one scorecard from a few years ago. I definitely treasure that. I have some class rings that I earned at different points in my education. I have some letters, things like this. And just recently, Adeline was going through it and looking at the different things that are in there. So it was neat to reminisce and share with her about some of the things that I treasure and why it is that I treasure these certain things. But obviously, you can get down to get to the center of it. They're important to me. There's a story connected with them, or experience that's connected, perhaps an accomplishment that's connected to these different things. And so I treasure them. I hold them tightly. They're close to my heart, you might say. Now, for you, some of you are married, perhaps, you've got your ring on. This is a sign, a symbol of a relationship, something that's important to you. And so perhaps you treasure that ring that you have. Maybe it's some cards that you have, some letters that somebody wrote to you, things of that sort that we treasure. Want us tonight to think about what Paul says to Timothy about what he's to treasure. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. I'm just going to look at a couple verses this evening. 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. He says, "Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." So Paul tells Timothy that he is to hold to the standard of sound teaching. We think of Paul as an apostle, a missionary, perhaps even a church planter. Often we don't think of Paul as a teacher, but Paul was certainly a teacher. He teaches about Jesus Christ. He teaches about what discipleship looks like. He teaches about sound doctrine, how a church is supposed to live and act and teach others. He talks about what is truth, what's correct in the eyes of the Lord. Of course, in these different churches, and in almost every epistle that you read, you can see at least an indication of some sort of opposition to the churches. So some were going in and maligning the way. They were coming in and teaching something other than sound doctrine. And so Paul continually is reminding these churches and reminding people like Timothy that they are to remain true to Scripture. And of course, to do that, they need to remain in Scripture themselves. These false teachers, they were taking shots at the church. Some of them were after monetary gain, and so their motives were selfish. For some of them, it was about prestige. They wanted to be viewed as powerful and knowledgeable. Unfortunately, they pushed Christ aside and made it about themselves. And so Paul tells Timothy, like he tells the Christians in Corinth, in other places, that they are to remain true to Scripture. They are to hold tightly to Scripture. I love that part of our vision, one of our values, is that we are a people that hold to the Word of God. Paul told Timothy to hold to the standard of sound teaching. Of course, this is, and for us, we have the Bible, right? We have the Word of God. In Scripture, it says many things about the Word of God. It says that we are to be washed by it, that we're to allow the Word of God to rule, the Word of Christ to rule in us richly. It says in James that we are to be doers of the Word of God. It says that we are to teach and preach it. We are to hide it in our hearts. That's one of my favorite images of what we do with the Word of God. And I say it often, that the Word of God is to be hidden in our hearts. I've said it this way before, and I'm sure it's not original with me, but we are to be in the Word in order that the Word will be in us, guiding us in the way of the Lord. Also in Scripture, it says that and this is later on in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a passage that many of us here likely know well, that the Word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And think of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. About the Word of God, it says that it's alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So we see how this Word, the Word of God, how it functions in our lives, how it does play a role in transforming those who study it and read it and allow it to make its home in our hearts, how it transforms us more and more into the kind of people that God desires us to be, that it shapes us into those that look like Jesus. So Paul says about this to Timothy, he says, you are to guard this good treasure, which is the sound teaching. It's entrusted to him, Paul says. Think about this idea, guard. Last night, Sarah and I went to a birthday party and at Top Golf, and there was one of the guys at the birthday party was a former Texas Longhorns football player, and we got to sit by him and talk with him for quite a while. He played from 2002, I think he was a redshirt in 2002, to 2007. And so think of Texas football. He was there for some really good years, national championship run. His name is Kirby Portley. I don't know, he was a tight end. I don't know how much he played, but he got to talk about all these experiences, like playing in the Rose Bowl. I knew that in 2006 and 2007, they played Ohio State. So I asked him naturally, so what was it like playing in Columbus against the Buckeyes? And I kid you not, he said, that was the craziest environment. Never experienced anything like that. The people were hostile. Of course, it would have been nice for him to say there were good, solid folks up there, but he didn't say that. But he just said it was wild up there. He said, I kid you not, and Sarah can attest to this, he said, I think I was more nervous playing there than playing in the Rose Bowl in the national championship game. So I'm like, yeah, thank you very much, right? And I said, go on, share more. But it was so fun to talk about all of this. But so I said, you played tight end. I said, did you play any on the defensive side? And he said, I played a lot in high school and just a little bit in college. I played a little bit of defensive end. But he said, on offense, you know the play. So you know where to go. So he said it was really easy. But he said, on defense, I was terrible because I didn't know the play. So these guys are, these receivers and these tight ends are taking off. He said, I don't know where they're going, and I couldn't keep up with them. So he said, I much preferred offense than defense. And he said, I couldn't guard the guys. And so the coaches are like, no, we're going to keep you on offense. No way you're going to play defense. And so you think about a defensive player that can't guard anybody, they're not going to be real helpful to the team. Now, I'm thinking this guy was huge, so I'm thinking he would have been just fine. But when you're talking about Division I football level, you could see, okay, he's probably right. Stick with the offense. But Paul says to Timothy, he says, you are to guard this that's been entrusted to you. You are to ensure that it remains important to you because it's important to the church. It's important to the gospel being spread all over the country. Paul says you are to guard the treasure. The treasure is, as we've mentioned, it's the Word. It's the Word in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is to be treasured. He's the way, truth, and life. That's what he says in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus reveals God to us. What is God's heart like, for instance? Well, we look at Jesus and we can discover that. So it's the Word made flesh, but it's also the Word as the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures are a treasure. They show us how to live and act. They show us the way to Jesus Christ. They show us the way to salvation. And so Paul says they are a treasure to you. The Word of God is a treasure to you. And so I like to think of it this way. For those of you who are Bible class teachers here, and I know in this group tonight there are several that teach the Bible. You're not just giving a lesson. You know, it's not just, oh, one more Sunday. But what you're sharing with those who are your students, whether they are 1 year old or whether they are 81 years old, what you are sharing is treasure. It's more valuable than gold or silver. This treasure has the potential to impact in an eternal way one's life, one's soul. So Paul says this Word of God is a treasure and it's to be held tightly. What else in life can provide the hope, joy, and eternal life that the Word can? What's interesting about this, just a side note, but recognizing the power of the Word and what God is offering us in the Word, that it is a treasure. And unfortunately, for so many of us, we rarely pick it up and spend any time in it. So Paul says, guard the good treasure that's been entrusted to you. It's interesting how it's said here. Timothy didn't make the treasure, right? It was given to him. It was offered to him. It was entrusted to him. And so when we have the Word of God, when we have knowledge of the Word of God, we have been entrusted with something, and the question becomes, what are we going to do with it? Are we willing to share it with others? Are we willing to allow it to shape our lives? You think of some of the people that are powerful examples of faith in your life, right? It's neat to kind of take a step back and think, I wonder who it was who shared the Word with them. Was it a Bible class teacher? Was it their parents or grandparents or friends? And then you think of it this way, for all of you here this evening, I love thinking of this question. Why are you here tonight? Or how did you get here tonight? Just think about that. Why are you here and how did you get here? I know some of you are thinking, well, a Ford or a Chevy, right? Or a bike. Maybe someone walked, I don't know. But you start peeling that question back a little bit and say, okay, who is it that took the Word that was entrusted to them and passed it on to you, right? Those parents, perhaps, friends, Bible class teachers, mentors, or others. I've been really interested in the work of the Barna group, and specifically there's a few young men that have been looking at the data on young people leaving the church. Gabe Lyons and David Kinneman, two of them in particular, and they've been noting this. They're saying young people are leaving in droves, and what's going on? They're digging into why is it that that so many young people are leaving. And I think part of it, there's many levels to this, certainly. But I think for all of us, we need to think, okay, what are we doing to take what's been entrusted to us, this treasure that we've been called to hold tightly to, what are we doing to pass it on, to share it, to demonstrate, to show in even tangible ways that it is, in fact, something to be treasured. The Word of God impacts our souls for eternity. It shows us how to live. It shows us where hope truly is. Are we communicating that to younger people? And then, more than communicating it, are we living it? Are we living it? Are we showing that it is something that is making its home in our hearts and shaping the way that we live? And so we ask the question, how do we guard the treasure? He says, guard it. Paul says, guard it with the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Holy Spirit, it leads us in a certain way of life. It guides us. And so I like to think of it this way. The best way to guard the treasure is to live by it. Right? Allow it to transform our lives. So we guard it by the Holy Spirit. Some have put it this way. The best defense is a good offense. Right? As we're allowing it to shape the way that we're living, we are building up guardrails, so to speak. And of course, there are forces out there that want to rob us of this treasure. Right? They want to get after it. There's pirates out there, if you will. Satan, false teachers, the world, busyness, sports, activities. These things aren't necessarily bad things until they dictate how we live our lives more so than the Word of God dictates how we live our lives. I heard someone say that in our culture today, even here in Texas, of course, in places in the Northeast, this has been the truth for a long time. They said about the church, important for Christians to remember that we're not playing on home field any longer. What's that mean? We're not playing on home field any longer. Well, perhaps in years gone by, the church was more accepted and appreciated in the wider culture, in the certain in the various environments the church was in. Perhaps had privileges that help the church to thrive in that time. Well, that's no longer the case. We're not playing the home field any longer. Think about the demographics of even Williamson County, right? The number of Christians, you'd be surprised. I don't have the data in front of me, but the amount of Christians is diminishing. It's going down very rapidly. So we think of these forces that are at work robbing, are striving to rob us of this treasure, and it reminds us all the more that we need to hold tightly to it. How do we do this? First of all, we live it out. We put it into practice, so to speak, and we don't just talk about it, but we live it in really tangible ways. And so I heard someone say one time, I like this, that perhaps we need less Bible studies and more Bible doings. And of course we need the Bible studies, but the idea is the Bible studies need to be leading to action, to us doing things. So the best Bible class teachers or preachers aren't necessarily the funniest, thank goodness, the most articulate, thank goodness, the most intellectual, thank goodness. But the best teachers, I believe, are the ones who make it obvious, make it clear that the Word of God is, in fact, a treasure that needs to be guarded, most importantly, by actually living it out. So many people are searching for treasure in our society. I think even thinking about what's taking place in our culture, there are so many people that are searching for treasure, and they're looking all over for it. Perhaps what we can do as, I mean, in our very lives, how we talk and how we act, perhaps we can be the map to show folks where the treasure is. We draw the map as we live as dedicated and committed followers of Jesus. I'd like to conclude this evening by reading from Psalm 119, verses 129 through 133. And really, if you know Psalm 119, it's all about the word, the commands, the precepts, the law of the Lord. It says this, Psalm 119, beginning at 129, "Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119 in verse 131 really sticks out to me. "With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments." I get a picture of our lab that we used to have, right? Panting, just needing it. That's how it is for us, or that's how it ought to be. We need the Word. We need the nourishment that comes from it. We need the guidance that comes from it. Guard the good treasure. Guard the good treasure. If there's anybody here this evening that is in need of the prayers of the church family, you can let us know what's going on, and we'd be glad to pray with you tonight. Maybe someone tonight is ready to give their life over to Jesus. If that's the case, please let us know. We would be glad to help you with that, assist you in that, and witness you make that decision today to be baptized into Christ. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue our worship.